Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
Just a second. Hold on.
Wake up, Josh.
No, I'm just imagining myself on the beach in Alanya, Mediterranean Sea. It's beautiful. Blue waters. Where are your favorite places to vacation?
The mountains. Not places where sharks live. Although I do like the sound of the waves. So if you could just take a wave machine to the mountains, that would be awesome. A
couple palm trees.
Yeah.
Maybe a waterfall or a babbling brook.
Yeah. Even a sun lamp, you know? You could just pretend you're at the beach.
That's silly.
In the mountains.
The mountains are majestic.
I actually do like mountainous coastline. So rather than
Northern
like
California,
rather than southern beaches, I would like Washington, Oregon, or even Maine. I love Maine.
That's where I was born.
Born in Maine? I did not know that.
Limestone, Maine, 3 miles from the Canadian border.
They have the blueberry ice cream in Maine.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In Bar Harbor.
Your personal experience.
Bahaba. Yeah.
We went to Maine a few years ago, and it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. We went to Cadillac Mountain. Have you ever been to Cadillac Mountain?
Nope.
It's the highest point on the eastern seaboard, I think.
The eastern coast of the United
States. And you can
States,
see yeah. for, I don't know how many hundreds of miles out into the ocean towards like the UK.
All the little islands out there that are covered with evergreen trees.
Is it like Sarah Palin can see Russia from her back porch?
Exactly.
You can see the UK.
You basically can see Big Ben and the Tower of London.
The Red Coats are coming.
There it is again, kids. The old Big Ben.
Okay, that's a little far, but yes.
Yeah. I like the mountains, but I don't like being on top of the mountains.
That's right. He likes to be at the bottom looking up.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's true. I like both.
Yeah.
Colorado's probably one of my favorite places to vacation.
Oh.
Camping. I like Colorado, but if you can find me a place that's like 65 and misty and gray, I'm in heaven.
That'd be Washington. See, you'd get your cliff beachside, and it's get your gray, cloudy skies.
We could be, you know, drizzly together. Actually, I would love to live in the Redwood Forest. Can we just buy
the
property
Redwood
there?
Forest to the Gulf Stream water.
It's got a special redwood smell that's just amazing.
It sure does. Yeah. Sure does. It does smell enchanting. And you would look so small there.
I would. And you could pretend that Luke and Leia would just fly around the corner on their little floating motorcycles.
We could get you an Ewok suit.
Yeah. You could just take just take Mozart with you. He's a little Ewok.
Yeah, he sure is.
I would wear an Ewok suit.
Well, what I was describing at the beginning of the segment here was Alanya, Turkey. We were over there for 2 years and went all over Europe. And Alanya is just like white sandy beaches.
Oh,
and
wow.
Crystal clear blue water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Took a boat out, probably 300 feet off the coast. And just stopped and waited for the water to calm down. And it's like a sheet of glass.
Wow. Mm.
It's just gorgeous.
That's so fun.
Absolutely gorgeous. Probably one of the most peaceful places I've ever been in my entire life.
And that's what we'll be talking about today. Rest that works. Candace Rather will be joining us, so stick around. The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. the brave mom who homeschools, the brave mom who doesn't, the businesswoman, the lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Jimmy and Rachel Barkley. They're podcasters. They host the podcast Revival House, and we're going to be talking about We Are Family.
Woo!
I'm dancing in my heart.
It's a sight to behold.
Today we were talking about rest that works. A little later on the show, we'll have Candace Rather on with us. It's quite a subject dear to my heart.
Yeah, I think I'd like to start out this topic by talking about kind of a before and after shot of just like testimony of my life. And I wrote about this recently for Dustin Smith's Be Fierce blog. But when I was born again, the first, 10 or so years afterwards, I had an S on my chest. Like I was Superman. Like I had just been radically born again out of, you know, rock and roll, drug lifestyle, and I just wanted to be a radical Christian, right? And if you had told me at that point that I was in a striving mode or in a mode that was powered more by me than Holy Spirit, I would have been like, what are you talking about? Because there were miracles, there were things following, there were signs following, but Jesus took me from that place and took me into like a winter season for like 7 years of not being on stage, of not doing anything in front of people, of serving behind the scenes, of rest. And I call it a winter season because I don't even know if that's the right terminology, but the season that I was in was a rest season. And he was actually answering my prayer to become a world changer by putting me into rest. And that's such an oxymoron, as so many things that you read in the Bible seem to be. It's an upside down kingdom. But in that 7 years of rest, I was transformed into what I was praying to become. And it was all done by his Spirit. And it was done by transforming me more into his image. So I began to understand who my father was. I was still an orphan. I didn't know who my father was. He was far away. He was slightly disapproving. He would, you know, somehow bless things that I did because he was gracious enough. But I didn't understand partnership. I didn't understand co-laboring. That all came out of rest.
And at the same time, you were honing your mixing chops.
Right. Exactly.
I think the ability to have a rest season is pretty much crucial to being able to do life in a healthy way for the long haul. I think that a lot of times when you see pastors and worship leaders or teachers or anyone really in any area of their life where they experience like a burnout and then an implosion, it is because there were several points along the way where there should have been a time of resting and recuperating, and they just leap right past those and push on, just push on, push on, push on.
But it's not just periodic breaks, right? It's a place you stay in. You stay in a state of rest. I remember hearing Heidi Baker talk about this extensively, and for the first time my spirit like opened wide up, and I had just a complete shift in my understanding. And she talked about grafting a branch into a tree, and she said whenever they graft an old tree into a new tree trunk, like the tree's not getting enough nourishment, they have to uproot it. And then they put it into a new tree. They actually bore a hole into the trunk of the tree. And then they hone the end of the trunk of the old tree down to a point. And then they just push it into the new tree. The branch or the sapling doesn't even really do anything. But the tree that it's grafted into
begins to pour nutrients into it and do all the work and push it in there and actually make it a part of itself. And it was such a beautiful picture of rest. Like the sapling that's dying goes into the new tree and just sits there.
Right.
And the new tree makes it part of itself. And I got a picture of what I was to be with Jesus. I got a picture of how I was supposed to participate with him. My participation is allowing him to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And that was what I was alluding to exactly when I was talking about that I didn't understand co-laboring. I didn't understand partnering. You know, there's a rest that we enter into. You know, the Bible talks about ceasing from our own labors. We can be so goal-oriented or event-oriented that we completely miss out on heaven's orientation. And heaven's orientation is always centered around presence. And that's the transformation that happened in my life. I mean, I knew the presence of God, but it wasn't a person to me. It was a power. Because I came out of a culture that talked about the anointing, you know, all that stuff. And it was very impersonal. It was like a tool. But really, his presence is his power. And I started centering my life in those 7 years around presence. And when I did that, I started having revelation of the Father. And I started being changed big time from the inside out. And I started learning. He started teaching me. And the Bible does talk about that the Spirit will teach us. And the Spirit began teaching me how to partner with him. He became my closest friend. He became my mentor, so to speak. You know, the Bible talks about him being a paraclete or coming alongside. And we basically hitched up together and have been inseparable ever since. It's so funny to say. But a lot of people, I didn't. I went years of radical Christianity without knowing that intimacy, that power, and that co-laboring aspect.
Isn't that the picture Jesus painted when he talked about rest? He said, come unto me, all who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That picture of two oxen yoked together, that partnership, it's like you learn how to do it alongside Jesus. Learn of me. Learn how this is done. And just recently, Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in a dream, actually. He said, I'm not accompanying you on your journey. You're accompanying me on mine.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It was like a little explosion in my heart, because it's easy to get a little sidetracked when you kind of understand your mission, you understand what you're going after, and to really go headlong into it and kind of forget you're following. You know, you're still following Jesus. You're not kind of leading the charge, even though you have a mandate. You are following what he's doing and being a partner to him. Not the other way around.
Absolutely.
I think it's really important in our lives to be willing to set boundaries to protect that place of rest, that sense of partnership with him, and not, you know, get ahead and start pulling ahead of Jesus. And a lot of times I think we can do that just by default on accident through life. So I like to set some boundaries.
So give some practical examples of like a boundary that you would set to protect partnership with heaven.
Well, for me, it would be family time. That we should have boundaries that protect our marriages and our families, because anytime that space gets out of order, then it becomes stressful and there's anxiety and there's fear, and that makes it almost impossible to stay in a place of partnership with Jesus.
Yeah. I think there's a rest that's really found in community as well. Because there is anxiety in isolation.
Yeah.
And I find that the stronger my community feels, the more at peace and at ease I am, and the more I feel empowered, because I'm surrounded by safety. And that rest, when we get in community, really is a great host of his presence. We even talked about, like, he dwells between us in our connection. And Jesus even talked about that, that the kingdom of God is among you, like it's among you collectively. And that is a powerful place of rest, not only because there's safety involved, there's numbers, there's champions around you, but because you're surrounding yourself with one heart, one mind, one spirit, the body. I mean, we're meant to function like that from heaven's perspective.
And it ensures there's no burnout. And I think that's why a lot of, you know, pastors or leaders in the church burn out, because they're lone rangers. They're going after it. They're doing it all themselves. And they really are not connected to community. They have a community right there in their grasp, like right there at hand's reach, yeah. You know, at arm's length, and they don't really connect to it. So they're doing all of this work and striving and just, we got to get it done. And this is the mission and here's the vision and yeah, and then pew, they just shut down.
That's the literal sound it makes. Yeah.
With community, you find that the vision, the mission, whatever you guys are going after as a group is shouldered across the group, you know? And it's not one man doing all the work. It's everybody working together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I find community personally extremely refreshing, like healthy community. And you're right, there's anxiety and fear and isolation.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to flip that upside down, trying to say, you know, what do leaders look like that cultivate this kind of community? It takes vulnerability. It takes being a servant, because you're actually starting to now, instead of placing the mission above the person, you're putting the person in the place of the mission and saying, look, this is amazing in your life. Let's develop this. Let's, you know, it's all about fatherhood and mentorship and encouraging people and instilling courage in their hearts to become the person that heaven has always intended for them to be. I think that's really what this next generation is going to. I think a transition in the kingdom that's happening worldwide. We're doing our best to envision and establish that among our community and the people that we're surrounded with. And it feels so good, and it's very restful. It's very powerful. And I think it models the kingdom of heaven really well.
And I think that's probably why we've seen accelerated growth in our community. Mm. Things that would take, you know, years to develop in a different discipleship model, such as teaching and listening, mm-hmm. whenever there's participation, man, it's just accelerated and things happen so much more rapidly.
Right.
Yes. Well, someone who has got a lot to say about this, Candace Rather, our dear friend here in our own community. More about that when we come back. Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. And develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Revival House Podcast. Jimmy and Rachel Barkley will be joining us next week for Creating Kingdom Family. Look forward to that program. Today we've been talking about rest that works, and we're fortunate to have with us on the program today, Candace Rather.
Candace, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clint and Haley.
Tell you what, we're sitting here in this amazing and extremely beautiful setting. Tell us where we're at.
You are at Harrison Creek Retreat in Neosho, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little about Harrison Creek. I mean, you just got to picture this big log beams and wood, and it's just a beautiful place. What goes on here?
Harrison Creek Retreat is a nonprofit ministry, and our primary mission is to provide space for people to come and unplug. We also do marriage ministry here, where couples can come for the weekend. We have a 3-day marriage intensive called Mercy Marriages, where we work with couples one-on-one. We also sleep 22, so we have group retreats out here. We have an event room that seats up to 56, so people have had conferences. We have a marriage conference coming up at the end of this month, and it's really just a multifaceted place, but our heart and our primary prayer is that when people come out here, that the presence of God will be a part of their story of coming out to Harrison Creek Retreat.
Yeah. And we've been talking a little bit before we hit record, and just remarkable how much the presence of God kind of comes into the conversation. Like you just mentioned things about, you know, we're really looking for His presence, and everything we do is kind of centered around His presence. And I love that.
Tell us a little bit about you and your husband's story, maybe even getting into this place. And you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, I never saw myself necessarily doing this, but it's really producing some fruit out of you guys' life.
Yes, it is. Not quite 6 years ago, my husband and I were just in this place of a lot of brokenness and failure and pain. And it's really at the point where God met us and gave us a new beginning. Wow. Of course, we didn't see it at that time. We weren't even sure we were going to make it. But through really a crisis situation in our own marriage, we came together. And as I told you guys earlier, we just told each other that we were going to be honest with each other and with God. And we began praying together every day. And we prayed prayers that were very intimate and personal for us at the time. In that first year, as God began healing our hearts and renewing our faith and our minds, that not only was He keeping us together, He wasn't done with us in ministry and what He had for us. And it was always precious to me that in those prayer times, when some days my heart would grab onto it, and I would say yes, but some days it didn't. Some days it was, God, I don't know if we can do this. Mm. It's too much. It's too big. It's too overwhelming. And my husband would grab my hand and he would look at me in the eye and he would say, Candace, we have no idea. And whenever he said that, the presence of God would overwhelm me. And it felt scary, but it felt exciting. And I knew, God, I don't know what this is, but I know it's You, and I say yes to You.
Yeah, that's powerful. So you and your husband do some ministry to couples here. What kind of breakthroughs are you seeing for marriages?
Well, we just actually did, a little over a month ago, we did our first three-day Mercy Marriage Intensive. And those intensives are geared more towards crisis situations, where a couple comes on a Friday and they stay till Sunday, and we meet with them four times over the course of those 3 days. And this couple that came, they were actually, it's a cool story of how they even got here. They had never heard of us, but one person who knew them knew about what we were doing, who lives in Kansas City, and they are missionaries in Romania.
Oh, wow.
So their mission organization gave them five options. And here's this little Harrison Creek retreat on the option list.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing, because we don't do any heavy marketing or advertising. We pray for the Lord to bring whoever He wants out here. Yeah. And they showed up, and it was such a sweet time in God's presence with them through prayer and the word and sharing of hearts. You know, when Nathan and I would leave the retreat home after meeting with them, because we met with them several times throughout the weekend, we would just grab hands and often be crying ourselves, thanking God for what He was doing.
Yeah. So lots of breakthroughs in marriages and
yes,
things like that.
You know, we meet couples out here throughout the week even. And part of the atmosphere out here, it's not clinical, not that there's, you know, not a time for that. But it's just very homey, and the atmosphere is quiet and peaceful.
Yeah, it sure is. Tell us maybe one or two things that God has done in your life that He's using to bring a breakthrough in other people's lives.
I think one thing that is a continual theme in what other people come back to us with is just the comfort that they've received just by meeting with me or my husband or both of us together. One thing we discovered is, you know, the Bible says, comfort those with the same comfort that you were given.
That's right.
By God. And in our time of brokenness and the mess that we were in, we had just a few key people that provided that. And instead of trying to find comfort in ways, you know, I call it, it's not peace, it's relief.
Oh, wow.
But God gives comfort. And there's a difference, because relief wears off and then you have to go try to find comfort somewhere else or in something else. And so instead of affairs and drugs and alcohol and even being busy in ministry, it's really about learning how God wants to comfort you in His presence. Oh, that no matter what the pain, what the loss, you know, what the trial, what the tribulation, he's provided a way to comfort our hearts and to give us courage and hope.
Yeah. Well, you threw a little phrase out there, being busy in ministry. And I know that you've been in ministry many years, and you mentioned a phrase earlier before he recorded, ministry addict. Tell us what that is and kind of how you came about that term.
Well, like I said, that may not relate to anybody else. So I own that term. And really, it's about God awakening me that I was finding my identity in ministry, aka feeling valued if I was needed or even wanted. And when I lost that aspect of what I was finding my identity in, that is when God came in at the most profound time. You know, we tend to think God is closer to those who are doing good things for him. Mm-hmm. And he is close to them as they give him the glory and as they are serving him out of love for him and people. But God is not afraid to draw near to us when we can do nothing for him.
Wow.
Because I signed up for heart surgery. And so walking away from ministry and really losing ministry, I was told I couldn't do ministry for a while. I thank God for that. Other people didn't even really understand that at the time.
Yeah.
But it was God's heart and his protection of me that he had to do some things in my own heart before he could, you know, put me back out there.
Yeah. Well, we love asking people about their dreams. Do you guys have some dreams you've been working on the inside?
Yeah, we do. We have dreams. A lot of our dreams revolve around impacting the next generation.
Oh,
first and foremost, our own children. We have three grandchildren now. Nathan and I, by the grace of God, wake up every morning and know that it's all mercy. When our kids and grandkids walk in the door and we're both there greeting them, we know that's God's mercy. And so we know God has given us, through his mercy and his grace, an opportunity to first and foremost influence our own children and grandchildren. And from there, it's their friends, and it's just expanding.
That's awesome. Well, we want to connect people with you and what you're doing with the Retreat Center. So give us some information where people can find you guys.
Okay, our phone number is 417-396-3172. We do have a website, harrisoncreekretreat.com. And then I have an email, candicegraether@gmail.com.
Awesome. We have thoroughly enjoyed just sitting with you in your Retreat Center today, having some great conversations. And just truly remarkable what God's doing through you guys for ministries. And we appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
So good to touch base with Candace and find out what God is doing there at Harrison Creek Retreat. What a wonderful place to get away. Find out more about that on their website, harrisoncreekretreat.com. Next week, sitting down with Jimmy and Rachel Barkley from the Revival House podcast, talking about creating kingdom family. You definitely want to join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.